Bags down, spikes on. Welcome to the track. Hi, my name is Colin Waitzman. I'm going to be your host for this episode of Track World News presented by Track Barn. And today we have a very special guest that is joining us. He is a two-time Olympian, fourth place last year in Tokyo. Now the newest member of the Philadelphia Eagles, Devin Allen. Devin, thank you for joining us, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. You know, it's good to chat. I know we've done an interview before, so I'm excited to chat again. I see you got the Eagles jersey on, so you're already repping.
Of course. I'm from the Philadelphia area, and I remember when you made the announcement that you were hoping to do football in the future, I wrote a video. I'm like, I hope he goes to the Eagles, and then it happened, and I was like, oh my God, I can't believe it. What's going on? Oh, we got to get ready.
But no, I'm excited.
So normal, we're going to flip this interview around a little bit. Normally we start off where you're starting with track and field, but you obviously have had a lot of crazy news going on. I'm sure your life has been insane over the last few weeks or so. Let's start off with the pro day that you had just a few weeks ago in Oregon. When you did that, took the track world by storm. Could you kind of touch on, you know, getting into that pro day, how you did, how you felt you performed, and then we'll get into this past, you know, this week as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, the pro day for me was to kind of announce that I, you know, my true intentions of getting back into football. You know, I've said it plenty of times throughout my career from 2016 on, but, you know, I never said, hey, you know, I'm ready to go. So that's pretty much, you know, what the pro day was for me. And obviously, you know, there's a few drills and, you know, running routes and catching the ball and running the 40. That's a part of that. And, you know, it's just a good opportunity to showcase my skill set. And, you know, obviously I knew I was going to run fast. I was hoping I was going to run 4.2, but, you know, if I would have spent a little bit more time practicing, I probably could have dipped into the 4.2s. But yeah, no, it was a great experience. Felt good out there running routes and catching the ball. You know, I still got a lot to, you know, kind of, you know, fine-tune just because I haven't did it in a few years, but it feels pretty normal in the sense that when I was going between football and track in college, you know, there's a little bit of like a few weeks learning curve, you know, getting my body back into doing the movements, you know, because I've done it my whole life. So, you know, I can do it. I just got to do it.
Of course. Of course. And so for you, like you mentioned, this is something that you had planned out since 2016, pretty much. I mean, you had a timeline, of course, COVID kind of, you know, threw that into a loop where you wanted to do it after 2020. Of course, that pushes everything back a year. What was it like after the Olympics? You can start after the Olympics when things are starting to wind up. It's like, oh, now it's actually real. Like it's not like it's 2016 and, oh yeah, 2020 it's a mile away. Like it's now happening. Like, how was that like for you thinking like, okay, like we're actually doing this thing. We're getting ready for it.
Yeah, like you said, the initial plan was, you know, post 2020, get back into football, you know, post the Tokyo Olympics, which, you know, it's funny. I try not to read too many comments and stuff because, you know, the news is going crazy. But, you know, not that I'm old, I'm only 27. But, you know, if I would have done this 2 years ago, I think there would have been a little less skepticism, you know, of me being 25, which is not that big of a difference in age and stuff like that. But yeah, I think COVID kind of put it on hold for at least a year. And then, you know, I just needed to find a good time and a good waypoint into the NFL. And obviously I got an opportunity pretty quickly post pro day. And, you know, Howie Roseman, the GM of the Eagles, was excited to talk to me right away after pro day. And, you know, the coaches were excited to possibly have me in. And so I visited, and it was a great, you know, just great feeling just to be wanted in general. You know, they seem excited about what I could do and how I could help the football team. And I'm excited and know I can contribute in a lot of ways. So, you know, it just feels good to be a part of an organization like that and get the opportunity to do it.
Yeah. Well, like you mentioned, like things change pretty quickly. I mean, I remember I released an episode on Tuesday, I think, because you made your announcement early. What was it, Sunday or Monday, something like that? On interest in doing or football, that
pro day, it was the day before pro day, Thursday, got announced.
Yeah, Thursday. Yeah. Yes. And then you had mentioned, I think your intentions were to compete through the world championships in Eugene. And then just a few days later, we're getting the announcement on Friday that, oh no, you're going off to the Eagles. I mean, that's a lot going on from, you know, the Eugene to no, this year is the year. What was that like? You know, take us behind the scenes of thinking, you know, one thing was going to happen and then it was another.
Yeah, it's just a lot of moving parts. I think my goal is to still become world champion this year and win the 110s at Worlds and compete and do well. And, you know, the good thing about that this year is it's early. It's early in the year. It's a little bit earlier than normal world championship. So, you know, it's 2 weeks before training camp starts, which is, you know, what is that? Four or five weeks before the first preseason game and 7 weeks before, you know, the first game of the season. So it feels like enough time to kind of get back into it. There's a few things this, you know, this off season, right? Like OTAs, rookie mini camp, stuff like that, that I'm going to do my best to be there and attend and get the opportunities to learn, you know, and step in and just get back into football. So I'm excited about that. Just in general and meet the guys that are going to be my teammates. And then moving forward, you know, just trying to balance the two, you know, doing some football stuff every day or every week, along with my track training, which, you know, my kind of, you know, expertise or what you could say on the football field is being fast. So as long as I keep training, you know, the way I am, right, you know, sprint, you know, I'm a sprinter. I just happen to hurdle. So, you know, as long as I keep training, I stay fit and fast. You know, I think I have a good opportunity. There's a few things football wise, catching footballs, catching punts and kickoffs and relearning schemes and learning the offensive playbook and running routes and just feeling comfortable decelerating and stuff like that I got to work on. But I got a good amount of time, to be honest, before the season starting now. Right. So I got all April, May and June and July, you know, so like four months is a lot of time.
Yeah, a lot of stuff can happen in that period. You gotta, and yeah, like you mentioned, your specialty had been, you know, the speed. Like it's good. It's like, yeah, you know what you're there for. It's like, and you know what you can definitely can contribute. And so, you know, having it be like, all right, now if I can just, you know, make sure I'm catching the ball every time it's hitting my hands, oh, put me on a go route and, you know, we're looking all right.
We're in business. Yeah, we're in business.
Had you been able to connect with many people from the team? I know you mentioned you had spoken with Howie before, but
So, you know, I actually just got added to the receiver group message yesterday. You know, so we just kind of went back and forth. I pretty much just introduced myself and the guys introduced themselves as well. And, you know, I'm excited to meet them, but, you know, so I think that stuff's going to be good when I meet them in person. You know, there's not a lot of, you know, it really depends. Like if I had the opportunity to train with some of the guys, depending on where they're at, like, you know, in LA or Florida or if they're in Philly right now, then I'll meet some of them, but I'm sure I'll meet everybody once I get into the facility. You know, the first OTAs I think are late April or something like that. So pretty quick, you know, in a couple of weeks actually.
Yeah. Where are you now?
I'm actually in Phoenix right now just because one of my friends, Freddie, is getting married tomorrow. So I'm here for his wedding. And then, I actually have a meet opening up my season at Mount Sac next weekend.
Oh, cool.
So, you know, I'm just going to stay in Phoenix and train here because it doesn't make sense for me to go to the wedding Sunday, travel back to Annapolis Monday, train Tuesday, Wednesday, and then travel to LA on Thursday. You know, it's a lot of traveling for 2 days of training. So I'm going to stay around here. This is where I live. This is my house. I'm in my house in Phoenix. So, yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Cut out the middleman. No need to. Yeah. And Phoenix probably much nicer weather than Annapolis right now too.
So. It was hot today though. I had a hurdle session today and a sprint session and it was about 95 degrees. So definitely hotter than what I've been used to in Maryland, but it went well. I'm feeling good. So I'm excited about next week in my opener.
There you go. So like what's training sessions looking like for you right now? Like, are there certain days that you're just that are football days and certain days that are hurdle days? Like how does it, and how long have you been, you know, kind of doing the both of those things?
Yeah. So I started getting back into football stuff, probably like February, just doing a couple, like on my off days, just kind of putting my cleats on, running routes, catching footballs, just doing football related stuff. I call it soft skills, right? Like catching balls, you know, getting a feel for the routes, remembering the route tree, catching punts, you know, practicing deceleration and stuff like that. So I've been doing that for a little bit. And, you know, there's still a lot of work to be done just because I need to get more and more time. So the plan right now really is to do that a couple of days a week and then train, you know, I'm still training full time. So that's part of it too, is like, if you go to like Cooper Cup, I'm sure he's probably doing like a speed day on one day with routes, and then he's lifting the next day. And then he's doing like another day where he's just catching and maybe working on one thing, you know, football related, and doing plyos and stuff like that. So the training would be pretty similar, where I'd do like a hurdle day, speed day, and then tomorrow I'm going to lift. So I'll probably lift and then put the cleats on and run around, run some routes, and just kind of get a feel for it, get my feet, muscles and ankles and stuff, getting used to it again. And then, you know, probably Monday I'll do another sprint day and plyos, maybe catch some footballs. I'm actually meeting up with some guys, a QB out here, and some DBs, and we're just going to not go like full board, but we're just going to work some technical stuff, right? Like, you know, we have a lot of time. Like I said, we got a lot of time, and I don't need to rush back. I can ease myself into it, keep myself healthy. I don't want to overextend myself, because that's when injuries happen, right? Like if I'm training full go football and track, that'll be pretty hard to sustain for 4 months.
Yeah. You don't want to go all in, because, you know, the season's so long away. You don't want it to, you know, stunt something too early on. You need to, got to walk before you run, you know, all that stuff for sure.
For sure. And it's really just about being confident. I think once I get confident just doing the stuff without thinking about it, then that's, you know, where I'm in a good spot, because like I said, my attributes and where I'm going to contribute a lot is my speed. So, you know, as long as I play fast and I can run around and do things without thinking a lot about it, I'm just going to do what I do. And that's run around fast and do that stuff. So, you know, it'll be good. I'm super excited, and it's going to be great. And, you know, I think the Eagles, you know, I think I'm going to work really hard. They're going to get somebody that's going to work their ass off and, you know, all aspects of the game, whether it's not just, you know, on offense, special teams wise, you know, and just be a good teammate as well. So it'll be good.
Have you had a chance to go to the facility yet?
Yeah, actually, it was there on Thursday. Yep. So I was there. I drove up on Wednesday night from Annapolis. It's about a 2-hour drive. And, you know, did the whole fit. Like, we went through all physical stuff, like just, you know, making sure I'm healthy. Obviously, I'm pretty healthy because I got fourth in the Olympics. But, but yeah, you know, kind of the basic stuff that you would do as like a high draft pick, maybe, or, you know, a guy that's getting coming in to get signed. You know, go through all the physicals, meet with the team doctors, sports medicine, met with the coaches, the offensive side, met with a lot of the player personnel and all that as well. And everybody was great. You know, you can tell why Howie's been there for 15 years, right? Because, you know, they have a good front office. They have a great group of people that just support the support staff and the coaches, you know, really mesh together. And so, you know, it feels good. It feels like a true family, you know. I know a lot of my teammates in the NFL said that college is much different than the pros because, you know, people are in and out a lot, which I understand because that's the business of it. But it feels good to have, you know, a few faces there that have been there for quite a while.
Yeah. And I mean, talking about that, so one of your quarterbacks, you know, Marcus Mariota, one of the biggest names from Oregon. Obviously he's a pretty big guy in the football world. Did you communicate with him or any of your other former teammates when they saw, oh crap, Devin Allen's back? Like he's back from, you know, when we were playing you know, all so long ago.
You know what? I talked to a few of my friends that play in the league. I haven't talked to Marcus. And to be honest, it happened so quick with the Eagles that I just didn't get the chance. I was literally on the phone with Howie 20 minutes after the pro day.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, and like I said, you always want to go, you know, in life, you always want to go where you're wanted and where people, you know, appreciate you. And that they made me feel that right away. And so, you know, that's home for me now.
It's very cool.
You know.
And so you're now joining a short list of athletes that have been able to, will be able to compete in both the NFL and obviously track and field. Starting, you know, you get Bob Hayes way back in the day, even some current athletes, you know, Garrett Scantling played a little bit with the Falcons, and obviously Bracy, he played as well. Have you been able to talk to many of those guys that have done both and getting many tips from what they have done with their experiences in the league?
Yeah, I think overall, right, football is a great sport, but it's simple in the sense that great athletes will play well, right? Like you said, Marvin Bracey, great athlete. Garrett Scantling, great athlete. And that's really where their opportunity came from. And same thing with me, you know, my opportunity is kind of arising from that. But, you know, I did play college football. That's the one thing I had, you know, kind of up on those guys, right? I think Cyril or Cyrus Grayson, the receiver for Tampa Bay, that was a 400 meter runner at LSU. He didn't play in college either, right? So it took those guys a couple of years to develop, just because the game is much different from high school to the NFL, you know, when you skip that, those college years. Not that it's not possible, because it totally is. It's just, you know, I think I have a little bit of an advantage because I played in the college level and played at a high level when I did play, when I was healthy. And, you know, we had a really good team as well. So, you know, it's, I think I'm going to be ready to go. I know, you know, it's going to be a big learning curve. And obviously the level of talent is going to be, you know, much higher. But I'm excited to compete. And that's what I miss most about playing football, is just competing.
For sure. And so one of my friends, he's a track and field coach, and he's had a lot of difficulty getting the football players to run track, saying, no, I'm a football player, I don't do this. And so obviously you're now being able to do both. You're showing like, hey, you can do both of these things. Could you share with some of those younger kids that might be in high school or middle school that are like, nah, I'm just a football guy, and kind of share how track and field has helped you get to the position you are today?
Yeah, to be honest, it's pretty simple. Speed is king. You know, you got a couple guys in the NFL that are doing really well because they're fast. Tyreek Hill, DK Metcalf. You know, a lot of running backs right now are super fast. Anthony Schwartz as well. And, you know, and that's the thing, is like, you get a lot of opportunities when you're just faster than everybody. So it can't hurt to develop the speed, you know, no matter what position, right? Like Micah Parsons, great example, right? And he freaking killed it, you know, in the last season for the Cowboys, right? Like, it's just, that's just how it goes, right? You have that speed, and you just have a little bit of advantage, no matter what position you play, right? Like, it could be tight end or receiver or running back or even quarterback. Lamar Jackson, you know, simple example, right? He's a huge weapon. Marcus Mariota, huge weapon, because he's fast. So, you know, and that's really just as simple. And you learn how to run, more efficiently, and that kind of keeps you healthy for one, and keeps you less tired, right? You learn how to run efficiently, you spend less energy sprinting.
Mm-hmm. There you go. And so before we transition to the track and field, got to ask, if you were to create a 7-on-7 team, yep, for all track and field athletes, who would be on your 7-on-7 team?
Okay, starting with quarterback, I got to go with the javelin thrower. I'll just go with one of my teammates, Sam Krauser. National champ in I think 2014. So, you know, he can launch the javelin. So obviously he can throw the ball. If I'm going 7-on-7 now, so we're just going to do offense.
Yeah, do offense. Yeah.
Running back, I'd put Christian Coleman back there, you know, just to kind of get loose in open space and give him the ball. If I need a tight end position, I might go with Ryan Krauser. He's a great athlete, just because, you know, I've seen him run and I've seen him do really athletic things. So I think he can handle that. A couple wideouts, you know, including myself, Grant Holloway, definitely, great athlete. Garrett Scatling is probably going to be up there as well, just because overall he's, you know, one of the best decathletes in the world. So how many is that? That's five.
Yeah.
Two more. I'm gonna go with a slot guy, and I'm gonna go kind of sneaky and just go Marvin Bracey, because he's done it, and he likes to compete. His personality is real, you know. That's why he did so well when he did, what, you know, play football, and now that he's running track. Anything that he does, he's gonna do well, because he's like, his personality is like compete, compete, compete. And then my last spot, I'm gonna throw a curveball in there, just because I think he can do anything, and put Mondo Duplantis in there. Just, you know, he's a great athlete. And I like him a lot. We're good friends. And I think he can, you know, play a little football. I'm sure he played baseball growing up. He golfs now, and obviously the world record holder in pole vault. So he can do a lot of things. So, you know, he'll be like the jack of all, you know, trades player on our offense.
There we go. Yeah, he's the he's like the what's the guy? Oh, the guy, I'm drawing a huge blank. Taysom Hill. He'll be like your
yeah, exactly. He'll be Taysom, yeah. Just a little bit skinnier, but that's okay. Yeah. He's playing 7-on-7, no biggie.
There you go. There you go. And then so now I gotta ask, if you're gonna bring this hairstyle back. So I think this was from your All-American game in high school.
Oh, yeah.
The Mohawk. And half of it being dyed. Are we going to see this back for the Eagles?
I don't think so. You know, and I'm sure you remember this time that Wiz Khalifa patch was like a huge thing. And, you know, I didn't want to quite just do the little, you know, little tip of my head. So I did like a whole, and I didn't want to go down the middle because I didn't want a mohawk either. So I just did like half the hair. And then it was kind of rough because when it faded out, it just turned orange. And then, like, I was like, oh, man, do I dye my hair again or do I shave it? So I had to end up dyeing my hair, like, brown to, like, get the color back. So, because I went to I went to an all-boys private school in high school. So there was, like, strict dress code stuff. So I couldn't have dyed hair. And that was, like, over Christmas break. But, yeah, that's not coming back for sure.
Well, it was worth an ask. We had to see. We had to see. And so
– Maybe green.
Maybe green. All right, yeah. We could see that. Maybe that's in the cards. So before we get too much into track and field, had some questions. We were digging on your archives for some of your tweets. Got some questions for you. Want you to answer here. So number one, this was from what's the day? What is the 11th? So November 28th, 2020.
Okay.
You said, shoot, I'm trying to box now too. So if you had to box somebody, who are you throwing the mitts up against?
Just for fun, or do I
yeah, have to like how somebody? We have these celebrity boxing matches. It's like, yo, who would it be?
Here's the thing about boxing, and you know, my family is actually like I'm not gonna say powerful, but we have a lot of boxers in my family, like my cousins and uncles and stuff like that. And one of my cousins, Darren, he is a U.S. national champ, like amateur boxing in the 80s. And is like a Pan American silver medalist, you know, back when the Cubans were like dominating boxing because it was all amateur. And he actually made the Olympic team, but that was a year got boycotted. Right. So my family was boxers growing up. I didn't box a lot. I spent like 3 months when I was like fifth grade. And I just got way too busy to do it. Cause it's hard. It's a lot of training. And I was like, man, I can't box, train and play baseball and football at the same time. I'm going to be worn out. But I think I could be good at it. That being said, so if I were to have to fight somebody, I gotta be realistic though, is I would cut maybe 20 pounds. So I'd box at like 175 and fight like, who's 175? Ryan Garcia. He's a little lighter than that. But obviously he's a great boxer and he beat my ass, but, you know, get my foot in the door.
There we go. Why not? We'll get it going. Another question. This was from, not a tweet in particular, but I counted and it looks like 6 times you mentioned the 3x350 being the hardest workout. So you've mentioned this a lot.
Yes.
Break down why this 3x350 is so difficult.
It's really just, so that kind of workout is what we call like special endurance for a sprinter, right? So we have speed, endurance, and then special endurance would be considered anything closer to 400 meter work, just because like you're working on that lactic threshold, you know, past 15 seconds is when you start getting lactic. So that's like a big lactic workout. And the only way I know how to train is to go after it, you know, like just go all out. And it doesn't work quite as well when you have 3 lactic efforts like that with only like 10 minutes rest, you know, because I'll come through the 300 like 34, you know, 33 or 34 seconds. And then I'll be screwed for the rest of the workout. I'm like literally like my eyes are shaking. I got like, you know, that like heavy head, like my ears, stuff like that. And obviously when I was training in Phoenix, it was super hot. So yeah, it's just a tough workout overall. And, you know, the way I do it makes it even tougher because I run the first 100 in like 1080 and just like hold on. and just, you know, try to hold on and finish.
Your body's regretting its actions the rest of the day, probably.
Oh, for sure. Like that, those workouts get you, like, your nervous system is shot for the day. So you're just like a zombie. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you also, so this was in 2018, August 9th, 2018, you posted a video of, like, I think it was all of Team USA was stuck in an elevator. Could you tell us about that story of how, like, it looked like there was about 20 people stuck in an elevator. You remember that?
I do. And to be honest, I am pretty unlucky. There's a few times in college that I got stuck in an elevator, and, you know, Twitter had just become a popular thing, like maybe 2014, 15, 16, right? Social media in general. And so I tweeted, if you go way back, like the stuck in the elevator chronicles, you know, I was like, hey, it's been 2 hours, you know, morale is low, but we still have food and still have water, you know, come save us, kind of making it funny. Mm-hmm. So those couple of years, I got stuck in the elevator like 4 or 5 times. It was crazy, like literally insane, like how many times that happened to me. And so, you know, I just feel like I was like the bad luck charm for that US. The US one was tough too, because like you said, we were 20 deep. The other times I'd been stuck in the elevator, it was like 3 of us or 4 of us. So, you know, body heat really starts radiating very quickly when you have 20 people in the elevator.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like a clown car. Like there's just another person coming out one after one.
And to be honest, and that's why the elevators say, hey, weight limit shouldn't exceed 800 pounds. And like, to be honest, I can't remember who exactly was on the elevator, but, you know, I'm sure Ryan Krauser was on there. So a couple 300 pound men, you know, and that pushes that weight limit real quick, real quick.
It gets real close there. So last one before we then start transitioning to your track stuff. So you went to a pretty elite high school at for athletics. It was looking like you had Robert Grant, Ryan Constantini, Isaiah Oliver, I think Cole Walsh and yourself, all these and probably many more that I missed as well.
Yeah.
But many elite athletes walking through the halls at the exact same time. I mean, what was that like seeing, you know, there's many people that reach the peak of their respective sports, you know, in the same high school at the same time?
Yeah, I think that's just kind of the culture that we had when we were in high school, like in the, you know, early 2000 teens. You know, me, right, being 2-time Olympian, Bobby Grant, you know, NCAA, you know, qualifier, you know, Arizona State record holder. Now he runs for Italy on the world stage. Isaiah Oliver, obviously not much to say about that, right? He's an all American, you know, decathlete and a defensive back at Colorado and now plays for the Falcons. Ryan Castellani is a pitcher for the Rockies and, you know, he's killing it, but he ran track and played football, you know, in high school too, as our starting safety and one of our relay legs. Like, he's a great athlete. And Cole Walsh as well, you know, he's a 19-foot pole vaulter and, you know, has made a couple world teams as well. And so, like you said, I think it was just kind of the culture. We were like, you know, we took it serious in the sense in high school, we were like, all right, let's make this thing work. And we won state, you know, on the track side a couple times while I was there, and we're pretty close in football, and the baseball team as well won state, and basketball was in the state tournament. And so, like you said, our high school was super elite. Back in the day, and hopefully we can get back there, you know, get some guys back to Brophy and build that prowess back.
There we go. For sure. We might have to. So now wanted to flash back to where track and field, you know, got started for you. Like what got you interested in doing the hurdles and how did you, you know, get started with
yeah. So I was always a sprinter, and a pretty good one. I in high school, I ran 10.4 and 20.7, which is pretty decent for, you know, by any means. But my coach in high school, Tim O'Neill, he was like, hey, you know, the hurdle event is not very deep. Meaning there's not a lot of people that are running fast. There was like one guy at the time, I think his name was Cameron Taylor, that was running quick in the 300s and the 110s. He was like, I think you can score a lot of points, you know, for us at the state meet if you do the hurdles too. So we started hurdling my sophomore year, probably like 4 weeks before regionals. And so I learned how to hurdle. My first meet, I ran like 16.3. And then the next meet, I ran like 15.8. And then the next meet, I ran like 15.3 to qualify for state through regionals. And then at state, I ran 14.40. And then in the final, I ran 13.9. So I made like a 3-second 3 second drop over like 4 weeks in the hurdles.
Wow.
And you know, it's real technical, right? Cause I had the speed. I just needed to learn how to do it. And so I was like, man, okay, maybe I'm a hurdler. And then the next year, literally the first meet of the year, I broke the state record. So I was like, okay, I can do this. And then, you know, it's pretty, like I said, sprinting, hurdling is so much like sprinting. Obviously we do a little bit more technical work, but we don't practice, you know, the exact, like, you know, the 100 meter block start is so different from the 110 block start. Sometimes, like when I run the 100, my wires get crossed and I don't really get a great start. And then I got to like, catch up. But other than that, like we do a lot of top end sprinting speed and just being fast. So, you know, really fit just in my training in general as being a hurdler. And then when I got to college, you know, that took off with my coach, you know, who's still my coach, Jamie Cook, you know, and I kind of blew the world up with winning NCAAs and USAs as a freshman in college. Missed the 2015 season because my ACL injury, but then 2016, right back at it, winning NCAA indoors and out, and then, you know, the Olympic trials and getting fifth in the Olympics. So, you know, kind of solidified myself as one of the better hurdlers in the world. And then, you know, most recently dipped into that 13 second barrier, which is like, you know, there's, I think, 22 guys that have done it before. I'm the 23rd. And like 12 Americans. So I'm the 13th, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. And not to gloss over that 2016, you're also the youngest 110 meter hurdler to ever qualify for the Olympics, I believe it was.
In the US. Yeah. And here's the thing too, like the hurdle event, you can have a really long career because it's so technical that like, it's really just hard to be as good as you're going to be technically, like early in your career, right? Like, you know, Grant Holloway just ran 12:81 last year, right? And he, you know, I think he's 24, 25 now, yeah. Right? Which, you know, he was running fast at 21, but he wasn't quite that good yet. You know, technically, he was probably the same speed, you know? So same with me. I'm 27 and you know, feeling pretty good about my technique and stuff like that. Last year was a good season for me and just training in general. And I feel like I can probably run for at least two more Olympic cycles, maybe even 10 years, but I'll give myself till, you know, 33, 34. And this event, especially because it is so technical, you can get away with, you know, maybe getting a little slower, you know, when you get older.
Was it, what was the recruiting process like for you? Because you played, football and ran track both in college. Was it hard finding a university that would allow you to do both, or was that not as difficult? Like what did that kind of look like?
Yeah, it wasn't really hard. It was kind of like non-negotiable. I was like, hey, you know, if you're recruiting me, I'm going to run track. So if they weren't interested in letting me run track, then that was that. Right. So I just, you know, wasn't interested, you know, on the football side, at least, because I was, you know, I was going to college to play football. You know, I wanted to run track as well because I love it and I enjoy it. But, you know, like I said, my whole life, my intention was college football, playing the NFL. Right. So, you know, going to Oregon was, you know, a strategic move in the sense that they had a great football program and also a great track program. So it was the best of both worlds. It literally put me in the best situation, opportunity I could have imagined, which, you know, kind of set me up for my career now. But yeah, you know, it was like I said, it was a game breaker if I wasn't able to do both.
What do you think if you were able to time travel back to when you're a junior or senior in high school and be able to tell yourself like, hey, by the way, like you're going to be a two-time Olympian and be able to compete in the NFL as well. What do you think your junior or senior yourself would say?
I think it's tough because I always, you know, as a developed athlete and a veteran athlete, you know, I take taking care of my body and recovery a lot more seriously. You know, when I was in high school, I just didn't really think of that stuff. And, you know, strengthening things that like are very important. Like the reason I think I had my ankle, my knee injuries in college was I was coming off of some, especially the second one, I was coming off an ankle injury. Right. And I just like, you know, when an ankle is one of those things, like you warm up, it feels fine. But like when there's some instability or some pain and your body's protecting your ankle joint, which is a mobility joint, you know, some of that force that your ankles should be taking goes up to your stability joints, like your knees. So I think that's, you know, the main reason, you know, obviously it's unlucky, but you know, I now know like, hey, like the feet are most important, then the ankle, then goes up to the knees and the hips and stuff like that. So, you know, taking care of the small things in terms of, you know, getting my body strong, feet strong, you know, the muscles around my hips and, you know, my adductors, abductors, hamstrings, quads, calves, posterior tib and stuff. Like I didn't know anything, know about this stuff. You know, I didn't know like why, you know, strengthening these muscles was important or this and that. So that's what I would tell my younger self, like, hey, take care of your ankles, kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think that your high school self would be surprised, excited, happy, like hearing, oh man, we got to achieve those things? Like, what do you think would be the reaction, like hearing like that you did get to, you know, be a two-time Olympian?
And I don't think I would be surprised at all. That was always a plan. In 2012, watching the Olympics, my dad put a little like laminated sheet on the fridge for me and my twin sister. It said, you know, Devin and Chris's goals, and it said like 6 months, 1 year, 5 years. I just crossed out everything and put 4 years, 2016 Olympic Games, right? And, you know, I accomplished that. And to be honest, there's not a lot of things that I haven't accomplished that I specifically want to. Obviously, I want to win the Olympic gold and win a world championship gold and win and compete. But the only thing you can control in those scenarios is being ready to compete and making the final, right? Which I made a few world championship finals and Olympic finals as well. So, you know, can't really be too upset. Obviously, I'm still fishing for those medals, but, you know, I'm consistently making finals, consistently running fast, and just being consistent in general with my training and stuff like that helped a lot.
There you go. And so, you know, looking forward, like you mentioned, you've got world championships coming up this summer, and then we're getting, you know, football practice is going to be getting going very shortly after that. What's the next few months looking like for you as you ramp up for, you know, what can be a very, you know, a pretty important times in your athletic career, you know, within the next few months here?
I think the goal is to be as fit and as healthy as possible. You know, leading up to Worlds, obviously that's number one. And then the same with camp, right? Cause football, you know, definitely, you know, your body takes a beating. So if I can start in a good spot, that'll be a huge advantage, right? Like, you know, sometimes it sucks when you go into camp, you know, even in college fall camp, and I was like nursing a hamstring or calf or, you know, my groin or whatever, like it's kind of a nag. So I want to go into camp feeling good, healthy, and just ready to compete. And then, you know, my intensity and my effort is going to kind of take care of the rest of this stuff, in terms of, you know, doing my job and making the team and making the roster.
Nice. And so when you were in Oregon, you're both a number 13 as well as a number 5. Have we had any thoughts on a potential number here yet? Have you made any decisions?
No, to be honest, I haven't, and we haven't even talked about that. I don't really know how it works in the NFL, but shoot, I mean, I would love to be number 13, but to be honest, I could wear number 99 and be happy. You know, there'd be a lot of, hopefully there's a lot of kids running around with 99 jerseys.
I'm sure there definitely will be. I know a lot of track and field fans, but man, I'm not even a football guy. I guess I'm an Eagle fan now. So yeah, you're getting people moving over. But Devin, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. Really appreciate it. Where could people go if they wanted to follow more about you on social media or anything like that?
My social media is just my name, Devin Allen 13, on Twitter and Instagram is the ones I'm most active on, although I'm not that active. You can keep up with me on the track as well. I usually run when I do compete, it's on TV, like ESPN, NBC. And then, you know, hopefully this next season goes great, which I believe it will. And you'll see me in the end zone more than a few times.
There we go. We definitely can't wait for that. Devin, thank you so much for taking the time. And thank you to everyone who's been listening. This has been another episode of Track World News. If you want more content, go and follow us over on Instagram at Track World News. We post almost daily over there. That's going to do it from us. Have a good one and peace. How do you know, man?